Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and I guess this episode is probably more of a lesson from casual than our usual lessons from CEDH. As usual, though, thanks for tuning in for this episode. If you're enjoying this or any of our other episodes, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, or any of the other free ways that you can help us out. But without further ado, let's get started talking about a concept called the Commander Curve. We've referred to the concept, though I don't think we've ever actually named it before. But if you're familiar with the idea of the mana curve, the concept of a commander curve will probably make a lot of sense. The commander curve is basically the mana curve for how your deck plays out during the turns before you land your commander. Specifically, we usually care about the ramp that will enable us to play our commander. And even more specifically, how the ramp we play allows us to cast our commander. Does it increase the consistency with which we land our commander at the normal time? Or does it even help us cast our commander earlier than usual? This really shapes the getting ready stage of the game for us and informs which ramp pieces we want to include. And it gives us a reasonable estimate to gauge our land count as well. So why don't we get started talking about this important concept? The first look is, can we just hit our commander more consistently? This is the most basic consideration you should have when you start looking at your commander curve. Let's start with looking at one of the most popular commanders on EDHREC.com, Wilhelt the Rotcleaver. This creature mulching, card drawing, token making commander does a lot of what a zombie focused deck wants to do, so you may decide your particular build of Wilhelt wants to get him out as consistently as possible. Wilhelt costs 2, a blue and a black, with a mana value of 4. Assuming no ramp, that means we're looking at casting Wilhelt on turn 4 on most cases. And assuming we're running 38 lands, a pretty generous number in this day and age, we're looking at about 2 games out of 3 where we're able to cast Wilhelt by turn 4. But what if we also include 10 mana rocks in the deck with a mana value of 3 or less? We go from hitting a turn 4 Wilhelt 67.6% of the time to hitting a turn 4 Wilhelt over 88% of the time. This is a very rough approximation and an extremely crude use of a hypergeometric calculator, as it ignores the situations where you only draw 2 lands and your only ramp spells cost 3 or more mana, but it illustrates the concept that's important here. Your choice of ramp spells will increase the number of opening hands that you can have a reasonable path towards casting your commander. It also helps us see the value of those big ramp spells, a legitimately powerful ramp like Gilded Lotus, or Thran Dynamo, which each tap for 3 mana, tend to go down if they don't consistently help us cast our commander, well, more consistently. We still got to get to 5 mana and 4 mana respectively in order to cast our ramp spell, at which point that didn't really help us get Wilhelt out any quicker. Our next major consideration is whether or not a piece of ramp lets us play our commander ahead of schedule. It seems like this rule should be play ramp that's cheaper than your commander, but it's actually a little more complicated than that. Let's look at Wilhelt again. If our first ramp spell to cast is Commander's Fear on turn 3, we haven't actually cast Wilhelt early. Instead, Wilhelt is going to be coming down on turn 4, the turn after we tapped out to cast Commander's Fear. However, if we instead make our first ramp spell Arcane Signet on turn 2, then we have moved Wilhelt up from a turn 4 commander into a turn 3 commander, assuming that we hit all of our land drops. That seems great, right? We get to play Wilhelt earlier, we're cruising right along, chopping down zombies and making zombie tokens and drawing cards and... Oh, right, we still need to actually get a zombie into play somewhere, don't we? This is a major consideration that you don't want to overlook. Wilhelt is awesome, but unless you also have a zombie already in play, Wilhelt is a 4 mana spell that doesn't actually do anything other than put a 3-3 body onto the battlefield. So maybe we're better served using one of those early turns getting a zombie into play first. Curving out with a 2-drop Undead Augur into a 3-drop Gleaning Overseer, which means on turn 4 we can cast Wilhelt, axe the zombie army token and get a 2-2 instead, having drawn 2 cards. A good comparison for Wilhelt to look at is another popular commander. Another 4 mana commander, Lathril wants to play lots and lots of elves, and has a payoff for having lots of elves built right in. If you have 10 other elves, you can tap Lathril and 10 of those other elves to drain each opponent for 10 life, and gain 10 life yourself. So unlike Wilhelt, we can spend our early turns ramping with a turn 1 Elves of Deep Shadow, into a turn 2 Priest of Titania, into a turn 3 Lathril, even if we don't hit our land drops. In fact, this hand gets us a turn 3 Lathril with only one land, and it still gets us 1/5 of the way to Lathril's 10 elves. And next turn, even if we miss another land drop, Lathril may still just get us there, deal 2 damage, get us 2 more elves, who can then fuel even more mana from the Priest of Titania. Even for a commander-centric deck, you really want to make sure that getting your commander out early actually is helping advance your game plan and helping it move more quickly. Voltron decks probably want the extra speed, particularly when they have a lower setup cost, but more go-wide style decks like Zombies or Elves probably want to make sure that they have a base of creatures in play before they get their commander online. So when does this matter? We should probably recognize that the commander curve is going to be more relevant the more commander-centric your strategy is. If you're on more of a commander-agnostic strategy, such as a 4-color value pile in CDH like Blue Farm, or even 5-color Kenrith, your game plan is probably less concerned with landing Chrom or Kenrith a turn early. You're never unhappy to quote-unquote take a turn off to cast Chrom. There's some nice value in a flying zombie body right there. But all of your win cons work with or without Chrom on the battlefield. Kenrith's obviously an exception, could be used as a potential win con when combined with a Sack Outlet and Dockside Extortionist, but that's not really the focus of the deck in most cases. If you have multiple other good value engines in your deck, and you could take advantage of those if you prefer, or you could turn around and cast one of those more agnostic commanders. The concept of the commander curve is most important when you're on a commander-centric strategy, whether your commander is part of your win con, such as a combo deck I've done with Vol or a more classic Voltron-style deck like Greven, or if your commander is just instrumental to getting things set up for you. So what are some common ways to power out your commander? When you have a very cheap commander, such as Yoshimaru or Rhys the Redeemed, you don't really need to put a lot of extra effort into getting your commander out early. But starting with 2-drop commanders, you probably want to start giving some thought on how you ramp. For example, even though the conventional wisdom in base green decks is to run 2-drop mana ramp spells or 1-drop mana dorks or both, neither one of those options technically gets us a 2-drop commander like Kapatra, Vizier of Poisons out any faster. Really, only 0-drop mana rocks like Lotus Petal, Chrome Mox, or Mox Diamond actually accelerate Kapatra out of the gate in any meaningful way. 1-drop ramp, such as mana dorks, are probably still a great way to make sure we can consistently get a turn to Kapatra, but they don't actually get Kapatra out any faster. 2-mana ramp is a little awkward with Kapatra, as it's competing with your commander on your mana curve. And if you're running 2-mana or more expensive ramp in Kapatra, it should be because you're trying to power out more powerful cards later. And there's an argument to be made that instead of taking a turn off to ramp, you may be better served just spending turn 3 playing a 3-drop that synergizes with Kapatra. When you're looking at a 3-drop commander, such as Marwyn the Nurturer, 0 and 1-mana ramp are both options to get your commander out of turn early. But 2-drop ramp is still going to serve to increase the consistency of hitting your commander. You really don't want to compete with Marwyn in the 3-drop slot for mana ramp if you can help it, because she's probably the best piece of ramp you can cast on 3 in your deck in most cases. And, as we've illustrated in a few other examples so far, like Wilhelt, 0-drop, 1-drop, and 2-drop ramp all serve to land a 4-mana commander more quickly, and 3-drop ramp still helps to make these commanders more consistent to land. There are some potential ramp pitfalls I often recommend avoiding when you're focused on the commander curve. One of the big ones is Mox Amber, which is a 0-drop artifact that taps for any color of mana, and John, why are you telling people this is a trap? Well, in some cases, it's not a trap at all. Decks where you have a partner like Rograk, who costs 0 mana, or Yoshimaru, who costs 1 mana, love them a Mox Amber. And even powerhouses like Thrasios can appreciate a good Mox Amber. But particularly when you have a more expensive solitary commander, Mox Amber often doesn't provide any actual ramp, as you need to already control legendary creature in order to activate Mox Amber. I have seen many Voltron decks including Mox Amber to ramp out commanders more quickly, and I often recommend cutting it because it's only good after the commander is out. Now, this may be the case where you want your commander out more quickly, but your strategy actually depends on other more expensive cards that are going to come down later. In which case, I think Mox Amber is still a good choice. I feel similarly about cards like Mox Opal as well, particularly when your artifact count is relatively low. And I think a full analysis of Mox Opal is a whole nother can of worms for a whole nother episode. I'd also like to point out that sometimes, color fixing matters as much or more than raw ramp, particularly in cases with colored mana-intensive commanders like Lazav, Dimir Mastermind, or even Niv-Mizzet, Perun. These decks are going to put a premium onto artifacts that can tap for colored mana, whereas decks with easier mana costs like Wilhelm the Rot Cleaver or the Locust God can afford to run more rocks that tap for colorless. So if you're on Niv-Mizzet, Perun, sometimes it might be better to spend that artifact tutor to go get Nizzet Signet, even over a Mana Crypt. And that's the fundamentals of the commander curve. Look for options that will increase the consistency with which you hit your commander on curve. Also make sure to look for options that can actually help you to achieve and cast your commander early. Ask yourself if this is something that's so important that it should warp your choice of ramp around. If you're running more of a commander agnostic strategy, you may be able to simply say, I'm just going to play the best ramp and not play the ramp that gets my commander out faster. But if, on the other hand, you're on a more commander-centric strategy, whether because you have a commander-centric combo, your commander acts as your critical engine for your deck, or you're just on a Voltron beatdown plan, getting your commander out quickly and often is going to be very, very important. Finally, make sure you avoid potential trap cards, which may not work as well in your particular deck. Zero-drop mana rocks, like Mox Amber and Mox Opal, can both be amazing in the right decks. But if you don't have a cheap commander, or in the case of Mox Opal, have a lot of potential artifacts that you plan to play early and often, it may not be something that's going to get your commander out any sooner, and it may just cost you a card out of your hand without actually accelerating your game plan. What do you think? Tell me about what your favorite ramp pieces are for your particular commanders, and let us know in the comments. You can also add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMindMTG. You can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mind Podcast. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mind.